Brother George Ladue, a member of the student body, suffered a heart attack on Sunday and is a patient at Rex Hospital in Raleigh, where his condition this morning is reported to be satisfactory. We shall want to remember him, particularly in prayer and in other ways during these days of his illness. I want to remind all of us that this evening at 8 o'clock in this chapel, the seminary choir will present Felix Mendelssohn's St. Paul, and our musicians will be joined in this by the Triangle Symphony Orchestra. That is at 8 o'clock in this chapel this evening. We've met here this morning on this special day, which has been declared by a resolution of the Senate of the United States as a national day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Father, by whose goodness we have been permitted to see the dawn of this beautiful spring day, we give thee our heartfelt thanks for the gift of life and for the gifts which enhance the meaning of life. On this day, we thank thee for thy providence, which has preserved this goodly land through these years. And we ask this day that we may be in a reflective mood and in a repentant mood as we think of our heritage and as we think of our present problems and as we look toward the future. Correct us, we pray, wherein we are wrong. Instruct us more perfectly in thy way, and help us to be more responsive to thy leadership. May thy blessing come upon this worshiping community, and through the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, cleanse the thoughts of our minds, the intents and purposes of our hearts, and make us steadfast both in the hearing and in the doing of thy word. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Will you hear the word of God as it is found in the 59th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah? Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you so that he does not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue mutters wickedness. No one enters suit justly. No one goes to law honestly. They rely on empty pleas. They speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch adders' eggs. They weave the spider's web. He who eats their eggs dies, and from one which is crushed, a viper is hatched. Their webs will not serve as clothing. Men will not cover themselves with what they make. Their works are works of iniquity, and deeds of violence are in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Desolation and destruction are in their highways. The way of peace they know not, and there is no justice in their paths. They have made their roads crooked. No one who goes in them knows peace. Therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We look for light and behold darkness, and for brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at noon as in the twilight. Among those in full vigor, we are like dead men. We all growl like bears. We moan and moan like doves. We look for justice, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities. Transgressing and denying the Lord, and turning away from following our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart lying words. Justice is turned back and righteousness stands afar off. For truth has fallen in the public squares and uprightness cannot enter. Truth is lacking and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. The Lord saw it and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no one to intervene. Then his arm brought him victory and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in fury as a mantle. According to their deeds, so he will repay. Wrath to his adversaries, requital to his enemies, to the coastlands he will render requital. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. For he will come like a rushing stream which the wind of the Lord drives, and he will come to Zion as Redeemer. To those in Jacob who turn from transgression, says the Lord. And as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit which is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, shall not depart out of your mouth or out of the mouth of your children or out of the mouth of your children's children, says the Lord. From this time forth and forevermore.
Amen.
We have met this morning as an expression of our free response to the congressional resolution proclaiming this day as a national day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer. In the context of Christian worship, looking from our perspective upon our nation's life, we are here to confess our personal and corporate sins, to discover God's judgment upon us and our fellow citizens, to repent of our wrongdoing, and to seek the forgiveness of Almighty God. This is a big order. For in the words of our text, the 12th verse of the 59th chapter of Isaiah, we acknowledge, "For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities." Confession, judgment, repentance, and renewal are four words to which I call attention in these brief remarks. Indeed, they are more than words. They are the needs of our lives. And may God grant that they shall become realities which we in this community and our fellow citizens throughout the United States shall be possessed of and by on this day and from this day forward. Confession. How difficult it is to say as they ought to be said. Those three words. I have sinned. Judgment. How ready we are to relegate to some event at the end of history. And this, of course, is a part of the meaning of judgment. But we need to see the urgency of this day as Judgment Day. And hear the word of the Lord Christ. And this is the judgment. That the light has come into the world and men have loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Repentance, a genuine turning to God, described long ago in national terms in a text which is relevant to this day, and which contains the promise of God, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." Renewal. From repentance there follows the renewal of pardon from God. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. But this day requires that we shall be specific. This must be a day of confession of our national sins. We've been deeply guilty of the arrogance of power. In international relations, this has led us on devastating errands of warfare. In our misguided zeal to establish the Pax Americana, we have transgressed against people in Southeast Asia in the most immoral war of modern times. The idolatry of manifest destiny has led us to give expression as a nation to a blasphemous, self-appointed messianism. In domestic affairs, the arrogance of power has been expressed in lying, burglarizing, influence, buying and selling, plea bargaining, payoffs and cover-ups, which, in my opinion, have earned for the present administration in Washington the designation as the most corrupt administration in our national history. Government by secrecy, deceit, manipulation, and criminality have too frequently been the rule rather than the exception in the present executive branch. The arrogance of power has been accompanied in statements and actions by some near the summit of American political life who have given operational affirmations to the dictum that the end justifies the means. President Nixon himself, in one of his speeches about Watergate, the one on August 15, 1973, reflected a certain ambivalence in this regard. The president noted that we cannot tolerate the actions of those who have placed themselves beyond the reach, and I quote, of those rules that apply to other persons and that hold a free society together, end of quote. But in the same speech, alluding to the civil disobedience of the 1960s, the president sought to equate this behavior with that of the Watergate criminals and even blamed, and I quote, some of our pulpits, end of quote, for teaching disregard for law. Such an approach, even on the part of the President of the United States, is indefensible and is unequivocally rejected as an approach to ethics, and moreover, the logic is manifestly specious. We must confess, too, that we as citizens have enjoyed private affluence while manifesting public apathy. Our moral and spiritual sensitivity has been dulled by the sensate culture in which we live. The moral outrage we ought to express is altogether lacking in too many of us. On this day, as confession is made, judgment is also acknowledged. Some have called for the resignation of President Nixon. I do not agree with this. Instead, I call for his impeachment. If through the constitutionally established procedures he should be found innocent of what the Constitution calls high crimes and misdemeanors, which are the grounds for conviction, he could then proceed, if he should be found innocent, to serve the remainder of his term with a greater measure of public confidence in his leadership. Now, Watergate is not the sole issue in the current investigation, as Mr. Nixon's address to the nation last night may have suggested to some. The House Judiciary Committee has the task of looking into other areas, including allegations relating to domestic surveillance, the 1972 presidential campaign, and probably the secret bombings of Cambodia. For the sake of the integrity of our system of government and in the name of God, who has built into the structure of the universe the moral demands for justice, the impeachment proceedings should move forward now. Repentance can occur only after sin is acknowledged. Wrongdoing and judgment follow one another as surely as night follows day. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And this applies to nations as well as to individuals. Repentance must be real. It cannot be accomplished by resolutions of the Congress. It must be a rending of our hearts as citizens, not of the garments of society. It must be an act of genuine humility before God, an act from which no person in church or state, however powerful he may be, is exempted. There is renewal in the way of confession, judgment, and repentance. My fellow Christians, my fellow Americans, let us hear and heed the word of the Lord. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that he cannot hear. Let us pray. O God, to whom we all must give the final account, do thou look into our hearts this morning and cause us to reflect upon thy word, that in the events of this day and in the days which are to come, we shall seek the way of renewal through confession and repentance and the acknowledgement of thy judgment upon us, and in the fullness of the pardon which thou art willing to give. Let no pride, let no national self-interest, no personal self-interest keep us from doing what we know we need to do, as we pray in the name of the strong Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord.